But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he said, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. You may be seated. How many of y'all know that God is worthy? Amen. This morning, you might want to ask yourself, how good is your word? Our subject this morning is, what is your word worth? What is your word worth? Worth means something desirable, valuable, and useful. In the eyesight of God, I want to be all three. Desirable, valuable, and useful. Word is a meaningful sound of or combination of sounds. It means to talk or speak. The things I say to God, I want them to have meaning and purpose. When you look at the scripture in 28, it says, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. How many know God wants us to work in his vineyard? Amen. There is things that God wants and needs us to do. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. I want you to know that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. And would not. Many have agreed to follow, but have refused to go. Many have accepted the calling, but are still sitting down doing nothing. Words desirable and valuable spoken are words that are useful to God. So what is your word worth? How well can a person depend on what you say? What makes your word honorable and reliable? What makes it dependable and true? We say things all the time and don't keep them. For example, I'll call you back. I'm gonna pick on DJ for a minute. I call you back, Pastor. 9 o'clock. 10:30. I thought he said he was gonna call me back. I'll be there. You can count on me. Monday pass. Tuesday pass. You see, our intentions are good, but sometimes we are unable to keep them. Those times come up when you just can't keep them. But even when you can't keep them, you still can reach out and touch. Connect and say, well, I can't make it. Things like these come. And times like these will happen. But if it is all the time, if it happens continually, if it's a habit, what does that make your word worth? What would make people believe your word? This is what I have, for some of us have gone through many things. We have testimonies that seem unbelievable. I mean, good testimonies. Wow. But if the testimony keeps changing when you say it, what does that make your word worth? You know, kind of like the big one that got away. It started out a minnow and ended up a whale. Parents, I want to ask you this question. What is your word worth? If you tell your children sometime, again and again, and don't do it, if you keep promising and you don't deliver, if you say, do it again and see what happens, anybody heard that? Anybody been there? What is your word worth? What is your word worth? I know in growing up, if mama said, I'm gonna whoop you, you get that finger and eye coming out, I guarantee you, you're going to get it. Amen. It may be 9 o'clock in the morning when she said it, but before you go to bed, and don't think you're going to slip into bed early because she'll pull you right out. Don't get smart. My name ain't you. All right. You're going to have a new name when it get all over with. Now, how about our word with Christ? What does it mean to speak a word or make a promise and don't keep it? How many have said, Lord, if you do this, I will. The Lord did what you asked him to do, waiting on what came after, I will. Along with this condition, you gave God a promise. You gave him a promise with, Lord, I will do this. Now, if God gave you your own book, your own personal autobiography, your own written words that you have spoken through the days, how big would it be with the words, Lord, if you do this? Or Lord, all I need you to do is this, and some people have the habit of saying, I promise you. I promise you. Lord, when did I say that? You know, everything's out. Lord, what I meant was, see, out of fleshly desperation, the closer we get to it being resolved, the smaller the problem becomes, the less we remember what we promised God. What is your word worth? It's better not to make a vow or promise to God than to make it and not keep it. Yet we are quick to remind God of what he's promised us. Lord, you said now you said. You told me in John it said, Jesus said, whatever I ask the Father in your name, you're going to do it. I'm looking for it right now, Lord. Not tomorrow, I need it now. Quick to remind God of what he said, but don't seem to remember what we said. Now, what are some of the things that can make our word ineffective or worthless? When we say one thing and do another. Being a liar. Being a kidder. Tricking people to believe something not true. If this is what you are known for, look at Ephesians 5, verse 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. We don't have to go through that, do we? As being sons and daughters of God, these things should not be part of your character. And then verse 4 says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. That's what we need to do, is give thanks. Jesting is to act or speak playfully. Sometimes we can be too playful. Amen, lights. It means to ridicule or make fun of. If you are always making fun of people, why would someone take you serious? Their opinion would be they just can't be believed. Like the story of the little boy who cried wolf. So when the wolf did come along, he just joking around again. What is a liar? A false statement deliberately spoken. Deliberate means to say something when you know it ain't true. Look at Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God, or every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. You see, Romans said, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as is written, that you may be justified in your saying, overcome when you're judged. Verse 6 says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Job said, and if it be not so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech nothing worth? If you don't let God be true, you're going to be a liar. If you speak something he didn't say, you a liar. If you are found a liar, your words are worthless. Now, people will say things to get themselves off the hook. Anybody? Happen to anybody? Or should I be saying, have you done it? What is your word worth? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, second book in the Old Testament. Here in verse 1, here we have Moses going before God to get the commandments. They've already been delivered from Pharaoh, already passed through the Red Sea, just like we are being delivered from our Pharaohs, just like we are going through our Red Seas. We are still being delivered from things, even today. My prayer is when all this is over, we will not go back, but forward. If you've been delivered from the Red Sea didn't close back up. Ain't you getting back in the water? My prayer is we will not stray away, but get closer to God. And the words we speak will not fall on deaf ears, but will have worth in his sight. Here in this situation, Moses left Aaron in charge. Today, we are in charge of our souls. Even as pastors care for your soul and watch, your soul is in your hand continually. Now in verse 1 it says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down, and that seems to be the problem. When there's a delay, we seem to go back. But it's a matter of being patient and waiting on the salvation of God. If he promised he's going to give it to you, you're going to get it. But wait. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we were not what has become of him. How soon do we fall to the wayside when we've been delivered? You have the testimonies of what God has done for you. If all of a sudden things ain't going so smoothly, think back on what he's already done. They looked to Aaron for guidance, just as we look for guidance today. Just because we're not in this building, or we were not in this building, didn't mean God was not in this building. Or did you hear what I said? Just because you were not in 1501 East Michigan Ave does not mean that Christ was not in you, your body, your temple. Don't stop studying because we're not physically meeting. Don't stop worshiping because you are at home. Look at verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the gold earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. What kind of a person is following in Moses' footsteps? If the Lord decides to take me home and Minister DJ begins to do things that Aaron did, put him out. Aaron should have known better. Don't let the Aaron in you or the old man in you cause you to be on no become no value or become worthless to God. Even though God was talking to Moses, he knew what Aaron and the people were doing. You know, God is multitask. Huh? He can talk to somebody and also hear somebody else. He knows. Don't think that your situation is so unique and particular that God can't handle it. Well, God, you ain't listening to me. No, you ain't listening to God. He already told you I'd take care of you. Jesus even said, I'll be with you always, even until the end. Do anybody know when the end is? If you can discover the end, he's going to be there. He's the beginning and what? He's the first and he's the Alpha and. Whether you are here on conference. God knows. He knows where you are and what you're doing. Huh? He knows Brother Marcus is throwing that fan back and forth. He knows. He knows what you're thinking. If you are in the building or at home, he knows. If you are listening or distracted, he knows. If you are at the kitchen or in your living room, he knows. He knows if you are near or if you're on the phone. He knows if you're in the parking lot, snoozing, or playing games. He knows. God knows if you're breaking off earrings or breaking bread. He knows if you are sacrificing an idol or if you're presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is the least you can do. He knows. What is your word worth? Joshua, when he was up on the mount and Moses came down, Joshua heard the noise in the camp and told Moses it was a noise of war. Moses himself saw the calf and saw him dancing. Drop down to verse 21, and always at your own opportunity, read this entire chapter and see all the things that took place. Verse 21, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Don't let this pandemic cause or make your words worthless. Continue to let the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart be acceptable in his sight. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. Wait a minute, Aaron, I left you in charge. And you talking about what the people done did. What have you done? When wrong or when we're caught, we always say it as Christians, the devil made me do it. Huh? You know how they are. First of all, the devil can't make you do it. He can give you some deceitful words, but it's up to you to decide whether you're going to do it or not. Well, I didn't know what I was doing. Yes, you did. Verse 23, for they said unto me, this is Aaron talking, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we are not what has become of him. Aaron, you knew what become of him. You knew where he was. Hey, Aaron, you have a relationship, because when Moses didn't want to speak for himself, you spoke in his behalf. You saw when Moses threw the rod down. You was there when the water was turned to blood. You was there when the frogs came. You was there with the locusts. Aaron, that's your brother. If you know someone is wrong and what they're saying is wrong, stand on what is right. Even if you are the only one, stand for what's right. Verse 24, and I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. You know, and it came out. How many of somebody had to mold it? I mean, you can't throw something in and here I am. Aaron was trying to say he was not the maker of the image. The others were. Look, the people you gave me, sounds like us, don't it? We try to put the blame on somebody else. We are quick to say, I didn't do it. You say, I didn't do it. You don't even know what I'm asking, and you already saying you didn't do it. Not my fault. Oops. You can take a child and look at them. All the crumbs is all over them. It wasn't me. I didn't eat it. Not my fault. Go back to Matthew 21 and look at verse 29 again. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. Here he was not a liar, just disobedient. And he repented and did it. Very few say yes and go immediately. When God called me to preach, I didn't immediately say yes. But then I said yes, but I really didn't immediately go. When he said, be pastor, well, I was thrilled, but I wasn't thrilled. I said yes, but slowly went. Many things we can all look at in our lives, different situations. God has told you or given you something to do. Amen. And you know it ain't nobody but him telling you. Amen. And in the back of your mind, you saying yes, but the front of your mind, you ain't moving. Let me check this out a little further. Even though you don't immediately go and do God's will, what is important is make your word worthy. Repent and do it. He wants us to quit saying, I will not, and start saying, I will. What he's asking us to do is not hard and not impossible. You just don't want to do it. Set in your ways. Comfortable doing what you always do and don't realize that you keep getting what you always get. It's time to change your ways. It's time to quit doing God's will your way and start doing God's will his way. Amen. Well, Pastor, what's the difference? I'm still doing it. The results is the difference. Amen. When you do it your way, you mess it up. Right. You be trying to cross the I and dot the T. How many know you're supposed to dot the I and cross the T? Amen. Verse 30 says, and he came to the second and said likewise, and answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. To say you will and don't is just straight up lying. Parents call their children, I'm coming. They still sitting down. Here I come. They still sitting down. Then when some fire get behind him, I was coming, I was coming, I was coming. I'm so glad for the mercy of the Lord. Because God has been calling us. And we say, I'm coming, Lord. Where you at? I'm coming. Don't even stutter. How many understand that when death comes and takes you out of this body, there's no way you're going to be able to say, just hold on, death. My program is on. Hold on, I'm talking. Can't you see I'm on the phone? Just a minute, let me get this quick text out. Let me tell my sister that you come to get. No. When he come, you gone. But see, when you have a relationship, and just as I think about Hezekiah, and the Lord sent a prophet to tell Hezekiah, your time has come. And Hezekiah knew what to do. He didn't say that to Isaiah, but he turned his back and called to the Lord. Lord, remember. Now I want you to remember, Lord. Lord, remember. And because of the relationship that Hezekiah had, the Lord was listening. Okay, Hezekiah. So before Isaiah could even get out of the court, the Lord gave Isaiah another word. You go back there and you tell Hezekiah, I give him 15 more years. So when Isaiah tells Hezekiah still don't believe it. Well, Lord, I need proof. Ain't that us? I need proof. You talking, Lord. Let the phone ring 6 times and stop ringing. And then let somebody else, let my sister call me and just say hello. Let it rain when the sun is shining. Hezekiah was in question. And so Isaiah said, well, this is what we're going to do. Either we're going to let the sun go back 10 degrees or go forward 10 degrees. Well, it's easy for the sun to go forward. Well, why don't you make it go backwards? The Lord did it. And he got 15 more years. But what do we do? Do we say, Lord, remember when God is calling us and talking to us? Do we say, Lord, remember me? Lord, remember. No, Lord, look, can you forget what I said yesterday? Lord, can you forget that I really didn't act well? I really didn't mean I was mad at him. No. He made me do it, Lord. What is my word worth to you? What has the Father asked you to do? And what has your response been? Do you do it, or are you still in the same position when he asked? To be bonded is to have ties or fastened together. What comes from your mouth ties you together with your body. Did you know that? What you say ties your body to it. If you stand before a gang and something comes out of your mouth that they don't like, your mouth ain't gonna be hurting, you are. James talks to us about the tongue, how we need to control it. It gets us in trouble. If you said it, it is an agreement. It is a covenant. It is a promise. Now, let me just ask this. Did you know a savings bond is nothing more than a promissory note? it ain't money, but it's promising you whatever's written on it, you'll get. It is an unconditional promise in writing to pay a determined sum of money to the person whose name is on it. And the thing is, man can mess things up. See, this will happen. I remember at Ford Motor Company, and I always get the same amount of bonds. And all these bonds got mixed up, and I wait for them, and I cash them, send them in. And all of a sudden, there's this bond. Rather than it be a $50 bond, it was either a $75 or $100 bond. I say, what is this? You know, I don't remember. But I went on and gave it to them, and they cashed it. Come find out that bond was for Anthony McKinley Vick the second. Man make mistakes. They don't check the way they should. The technology today is getting so much better, but it's so much worse. Now, just in case, I mean, you know, son sitting there, you still got reimbursed. We square things away, so don't think that you got Jude. But what I want you to know is Jesus is our bond. He is our savings bond. His death became our promissory note. Our conditional promise written and paid in full. It is nothing we did to deserve it. Not our works, nor our looks or merit. God so loved us, he gave his only begotten son. And everyone that would believe should not perish, but have this promise of eternal life. Let's close with these statements and remarks or these spoken words by Christ. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. These are all the words spoken to us by Christ. They are true. They are worthy, and we are worthy to believe them. Remember, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. We know without a doubt what God's word is worth. The question is our word worth anything? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What do you love today? My time is up, and I thank you for yours.